Let's imagine the not too distant future. You feel more in control of your photos than you ever have before. You look forward to the regular creative dates on your calendar. You're moving forward on that project that means so much to you. You are on fire with inspiration, and you are finally scrapbooking consistently. This is not a hypothetical, it's a real life possibility. And for the first time, I've created a workshop specifically focused on the problem of consistency. It's called Sparked, and I'm excited to share it with you for free. Visit simplescrapper.com/sparked to get access to the training and make this possibility your reality.
Scrapbooking has taught me that it's okay to take some time to be creative and not just perform 100% at work and be scientific and save every patient. It's okay to have time for something else.
Welcome to Scrapbook Your Way, the show that explores the breadth of ways to be a memory keeper today. I'm your host, Jennifer Wilson, owner of Simple Scrapper and author of The New Rules of Scrapbooking. This is episode 253. In this episode, I'm interviewing Sophie Delorme for the My Way series. My Way is all about celebrating the unique ways memory keepers get things done. We're excited to have Sophie as the March featured artist at Simple Scrapper. Hey, Sophie, welcome to Scrapbook Your Way.
Oh, thank you so much for the invitation. Very excited to be here.
I am looking forward to getting to know you better as well, but can you start by sharing a little bit about yourself with our audience?
Sure. My name is Sophie Delorme. I'm a little French-Canadian girl. I live in Laval, that's just next to Montreal, a big city in the province of Quebec, that's in Canada. So it's very cold down here. I'm a mother of two children, Sabrina, who's 16, and Gabriel, my son, who's 20. I also have two beautiful dogs. They are Labradors, retrievers. I have Fiona, which is a brown lab, and Farine, who's blonde, and they are a huge part of my life also. And I live with my hubby for the last 25 years.
Wow.
I am an endocrinologist, which is a doctor. That's making me too busy.
For sure.
An endocrinologist is a doctor specialized in hormones. So I treat, you know, diabetes and thyroid problems, thyroid cancer, pituitary problems, any kind of hormone-related disease. And I work full-time in a very busy hospital in Montreal.
Oh, I love to hear how busy women like yourself can find time for their hobbies. So I'm sure we're going to get more into that. So one of the things that I love to ask our guests is, what is exciting them right now? So can you share one non-scrapbooking thing as well as one scrapbooking thing?
Yes, sure. There's a lot of things going on. I'd say outside of the scrapbooking, we just bought a cottage by the lake a few months ago. And I get to have a brand new craft space with lots of windows and a beautiful view, which is very new to me because at my house, I do my crafting in the basement. So I have a beautiful view on the forest and deers coming up to say hi. So it's very, very inspiring. And I'm very happy at the moment to have that space. I also started knitting again, you know, knitting. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm pronouncing it well.
Yeah.
I just started back a few weeks ago after a long break, and I forgot how I love this hobby. So yeah.
I'm curious about your cottage. Will this be your full-time residence?
No, we go there on the weekends because it's 2 hours away from, you know, the hospital where we work, because my hubby is a doctor too. So we run away in here on the weekends when we have a break and when we're not on call. So yeah. So once in a while we get there.
Yeah, it sounds delightful though.
It is. I love nature. So yes, very happy for that.
And what types of things do you like to knit?
I usually knit sweaters for me. I really love everything about knitting. It's very, very relaxing for me. And you can knit like everywhere in the car, everywhere in the house. So that's very convenient for me. Mostly sweaters, I'd say. And of course, you know, scarves and socks, but I prefer sweater from the rest.
And then what about your scrapbooking thing?
Yeah. So there are two events coming up that really, really excite me. One is probably that everybody knows about it because it's very popular. It's the Crop and Create scrapbooking weekend from Scrapbook and Cards Today. It's a Canadian company. They used to have, you know, in-person events. And I went to, you know, Cornwall and Toronto for a few years, and I just completely fell in love with them. And now they do, you know, since the pandemic, online events. And there's one for scrapbooking by the end of April. And I always, you know, get together with four of my precious friends that are from Quebec City. And we get together for the whole weekend and we create, we have fun, and there's a lot of production of many, many layouts. So that's just a terrific weekend for me. There's another event in scrapbooking that is coming from Pinkfresh Studios, and it's called Create and Connect. There's the card event and there's the scrapbooking event. And that's by the end of March, so coming up pretty, pretty soon. And for the very first time in my life, I will be an instructor for this online weekend. So it's a 2-hour class. I'm looking forward to it with excitement, but also I am very, very nervous about it, but I'm sure it's going to be great.
Yes, I'm sure it will be. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Something new in scrapbooking actually that I discovered not a long time ago is the Better Press system from Spellbinders. I don't know if you had the chance to experiment with it.
No, not that
I really, really love the effect. It's a stamping with a little subtle embossing to it, and it really gives beautiful results. And it's very, very easy to manage, which is good for me.
That sounds so fun. We'll definitely include links to all of those. I have done a number of the Crop and Create events, mm-hmm. but I've never done one of the Pink Fresh ones. And so I'm keeping my eye on all the options. There's so many good things to participate in these days.
Yes, there are, for sure.
So I also like to ask our guests about their memory keeping bucket lists. So this is a list of stories that you feel it's really important to capture and document for yourself, for your family. Do you have one that you know of on your list that you, for some reason, haven't documented yet?
That's a good question. I usually don't really have a bucket list. I just, you know, go with the flow. But there are maybe two things that I did not document yet, but I'd love to. The first one is, of course, the story of this cottage that we just bought, the changes we made in here and my craft space and all the feelings attached to it. I thought about doing a 6x8 album about it because there's so many photos and little stories to document that goes with it. Another thing that I did not scrapbook yet is a misadventure that we had last summer with Fiona, my brown lab. She ate a toxic mushroom at our cottage in the woods, and it was actually a very, very lethal mushroom. So we had to rush to the vet clinic, and she was, you know, hospitalized in the ICU for a few days. And she had a very, very risky procedure, and we did not think that she was going to make it at a point. So, and Sabrina, my daughter, took a photo of me, you know, on the floor crying and holding my dog for maybe the last time to say goodbye. Of course, you know, everything went well and she survived without any complications. So that's a very happy ending story, but it was so very emotional. I don't know if you're a dog mom but you know, dogs are very, very, very important in my life and they contribute to a lot of happiness in here. So it was a very emotional moment. And, you know, although everything is good now, I just don't feel ready yet to document it. If I do, because I think I will, it probably will be like a 2-page spread because I only have one photo, but there will be for sure lots of journaling that goes with it.
Well, I am so glad that she's okay. And I can see that sometimes there are stories that you have mm-hmm. to wait till the right time to feel ready, and you'll know when that happens.
Right.
We have two cats. I've had cats pretty much mm-hmm. my whole life. Other than when I moved here, my husband had a dog, and I was curious but apprehensive. But by the time she passed, I was like, oh, you know what? Oh. Dogs are not so bad. And now we have lots of friends who have dogs. And so I think at some point I would like to also add a puppy to our family. But right now we just have two totally crazy cats.
Oh, well, I wish it to you. They have just such beautiful souls. They can read my eyes. I mean, they're amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. I can tell some of that difference. Cats have some of that, but not to the same degree. They're very self-centered and sometimes a little dumb.
Yeah.
So this is a My Way episode because you are our featured artist for March. And the first thing I like to do is to highlight our current theme. So for March and April, we're talking all about organization. We call this our creative journey. This provides a lens for our podcast episodes and most importantly for our member community. And we use this so we can make sure that we're kind of touching all different topics and scrapbooking throughout the year. So I'm curious, what are one or two of your favorite organizing tips or solutions?
You know what? To be very honest, my craft room is a complete chaos. It's a whole mess. So I'm not the best one for that, but I'll try to find a few tips. You know what? At work, I'm so very organized and very rarely late for my patients. And I'm on schedule, and it's very, very important to me. So I don't know. I feel like when it's time to create, I just let go of everything. So it's like if I had two personalities. but maybe let me share with you, you know, how my craft space is organized. That might help a few scrappers. Most of my collections are in fabric boxes that goes in the, probably you know that, the IKEA Kallax shelf units. Yep. They have like fabric boxes that go in them. So I put all my collections by brands and by seasons in all those different fabric boxes. So they're, and so depending on, you know, the season that I'm creating, they're easy to reach. I also have IKEA Alex drawers on each sides of my table where I put my inks and my border punches. All the scraps of papers that are by color, they have a different drawer. I have a stash of tape runners in there. So they're really just next to me when I create. I also have a few drawers that are for all my Pink Fresh Studios stamps, stencils, and dies. So they're easy to reach as well. On my desk, all I have is a big desk organizer where I can put the collection that I'm actually working with. So it's right in front of me and it prevents it to be like all over the place. I stick it in my desk organizer so it's easier. I also have a carousel tray, I think it's the word, you know, a little thing that is spinning around mm-hmm. where I put my pens and my rulers and the foam dots and the scissors and my bone folder and my tape. So everything is right next to me. And finally, behind me, I do have a rolling cart as well. So like it's a 360-degree organizing situation here. So I have a rolling cart where I put my twine and my thread, some of my stems, a crocodile, my paintbrushes, my textured paste. So maybe more of a mixed media kind of cart.
You know, it sounds wonderful. And actually, it sounds really, really similar to how I have things organized. So we must kind of maybe think in similar ways down to the Kallax, the Alex drawers, the cart. And maybe that's just what a lot of scrapbookers have these days.
Yeah.
But maybe you're more organized than you think you are.
Maybe, but if you'd enter here, you would not say that.
Yes, probably the same for my space.
But I know where everything is, though.
Yes.
Yeah, I never got lost. I know where everything is, but yes, it's chaos.
Could you talk more about how you got started scrapbooking? You said you've been doing it for 25 years. I'm sure your hobby has evolved in that time. So can you talk a little bit about that journey?
Yeah, it started in a weird way, actually in a touching way. I was pregnant with Gabriel and I was in my residency for medicine, and one of my colleague resident just gave birth to her son. And, you know, 7 weeks later, she had a car accident and her son died in the car accident. And a few months later, we went together for a dinner at a restaurant with a few friends, and she brought her scrapbook album with her. And so in that album, she put all her heart, everything that was related to her son, all the memories, a little piece of hair, a little piece of his pajamas, and, you know, everything was in there. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of, you know, Jolie's embellishment at the time and all the photos. And so it was so very, very emotional and touching. And I had no idea what scrapbooking was. I mean, no clue. So I was very, very impressed by all the details and all the journaling and the stories and, you know, all the energy that she put in there. And she said that, you know, it was, she had to do it. She had to, you know, take care of what was left from mm-hmm. him and to honor his memory. And you know what, from that time, it was, and it still is today, my purpose when I document anything. I always have in the back of my mind, what if? What if it's over? What if, you know, that's all we have left? So I don't want to say that in a dramatic way. I feel it in a very beautiful way. It's just a way for me to see how precious and how important those little memories are, because we never know. And so a few months later, I went to a craft store, had absolutely no clue to what to buy and where to start. And so I bought an album, a few papers that I liked, and a few embellishments. It was mostly Jolie's at the time. And there you go. I just started. I created my first page. It was horror, but it was okay at that time. And the most important thing was to document anyways. It really changed though over time for sure. On the very first pages that I did, I used, and you're going to laugh, the A sides and the B sides as well, just to make sure that I didn't miss anything of my favorite papers. So I had a scrapbook layout on the A side and then another one on on the back of it. And I used a lot of ribbons and Jolie's, and mostly I went to the dollar store to, you know, get my products. And everything just fit in one box that I put on my dining table when I was feeling and I had the time to scrap. So that was before. Something that I still do at the end of each of my albums, I started that on the first one and I'm still doing this today. At the end of each album, my last page is not a photo page. It's like a summary page. So I decorate it, but there's like mostly journaling from my thoughts about this period of time. So if it's an album for my daughter and it's from the summer, you know, 2010, for instance. Well, I document, you know, what we did for this summer and what are her milestones and my thoughts about where she is now and my expectations or my hopes for her. Or anyways, I don't know if I'm clear enough, but it's just the last page of each album that summarizes the whole, you know, the whole album.
Oh, I love that idea. I think that's a beautiful strategy. And one, I think more of us should try, particularly since within an album, we tend to have some pages that maybe have more journaling, some that have a lot less. And so if you can just give mm-hmm. more context to whatever's in that album, whether it's kind of a more complete story or if it's just this is the time period of life, I think adding one more thing really mm-hmm. puts a nice cap on it.
I see it as a tribute mm-hmm. to the love that I have for my kids. I see it this way because most of my layouts are from my kids and my dogs. So I see that like a tribute to honor them.
Mm, that's a beautiful thought.
And of course, you know, that's 20 years back. So things really changed when I discovered social media because I had no idea, you know, I'm just a doctor in the hospital. So I never had a Facebook account or whatever. So a few years ago, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, my best friend Melissa made me discover Instagram. And this was life-changing. I mean, I could see all, you know, the beautiful, inspiring layouts and the products and the companies and the scrapbookers. And I could not believe this whole community existed. So yeah, so this really made me change my way of scrapping because I saw the, you know, the trends and all the products out there. And so it made me more aware of you know, everything available from the industry. And so I started, you know, posting my layouts for the first time at that time. And I had maybe, I don't know, just 100 or 200 followers. And Kimberly Hutchison from HipKid Club reached out and asked me if I wanted to be on the design team. And, you know, I didn't even have a Facebook account at that time. And I had no idea what, you know, what's the job of a design team member, what's to do. But I said yes. And, you know, she trusted me, although I just had only a few followers. And that's 6 years ago. It's my sixth year with HipKid Club. So it made it really helped me to need to find the time to get crafty, the time to make sure that I do my assignments. And by doing my assignments, well, it permits me to document what's going on. And I need now to find the time to do that. And that's perfect for me.
So when do you typically find the time and energy with your busy schedule?
When I can, which is mostly on the weekends, I'd say. Okay. On the weekends, I usually FaceTime with my best friend again, and she's as passionate as I am. And so we get along, although she is 3 hours away from me with FaceTime, and we craft for a few hours every weekend. During the weekdays, it really depends on the work that I have in the hospital. If I do have some time at night, I will sneak in my craft room and do my layouts. But I'd say like 90% of the time it's on the weekends.
Do you think you found more or less time as your kids have gotten older?
Oh, more. Definitely more. It's, you know what? Now it's a need for me. So when there's a need, you find the time.
Yes, yes.
It's not always realistic. It's not every week, but it really contributes to my sanity, to be honest. It's like if I need to work on the right side of my brain, somehow, you know, in the hospital, it's only the scientific process and it's very evidence-based and it's very rational. And so it's completely different.
Yes, yes.
So for me, creativity is a need. So yes, there will be time for that. I remember 16 years ago, I just gave birth to Sabrina and I still had time, not as much as today for sure, but I made time for that. And I was a happier person and it was so fulfilling. So yeah, there's always time. You just need to maybe be organized and make it your priority. Make yourself your priority, I'd say.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Can you talk more about the sizes and formats you like to create in these days?
Yes. I'm a very traditional scrapbooker. My formats are almost always 12 by 12 pages, rarely double pages. Most of them are single pages. I do every year a December daily album, though, and it's a 6 by 8 format, and I love it for that. And since a few years, I started doing 8.5 by 11 pages. These are in like a separate albums. And usually I do that when I'm working on a collection and I have some scrap papers left. And I just create, you know, more maybe simple layouts that are smaller, that are not posted. It's like I called it my brain break. It's, you know, whatever is left, I put that on a page and I put my photo in journaling. And that's like the easier little pages, but they are still meaningful. So they're not, you know, as detailed and you know, how do I say that? Detailed and performant, as I say, for, yeah, right. You know, it's, they would not do any design team. they would not meet these criteria, but still they are my life. So I have a few albums of that size too.
I think it's an important reminder that not every page is going to be a masterpiece, but that doesn't mean it's any less valuable than the pages that are. And that 8.5 by 11 size, as you said, is very approachable.
Yeah.
So you are on a number of design teams. Whose products are you completely obsessed with that you would otherwise be buying on your own?
I would say, very honestly, anything Pinkfresh. Pinkfresh Studios is a beautiful, not that huge company, but I love everything they create. They have a very high quality, you know, standards. And what I love about this company is that they are producing a lot of card products. And my challenge that I love to do is to use those card products on pages. So you know, the stamping and the embossing and the hot foil and everything that is meant to be more like framed for cards, I love including them in layout. So yes, anything Pinkfresh. Of course, HipKit Club is my go-to as well. They started a few years ago to create exclusive products every single month. I have no idea how they do it, but they have like a whole new collection every month with stamps and dies and stencils and, you know, cardstock stickers and foam, you name it, they have it every month. So of course, it's very, very inspiring and I will never be bored with them. Aside of that, of course, I love Fancy Pants Design and Cocoa Vanilla, which are my two other design team. Cocoa Vanilla is very precious for me. It's an Australian company and they are very, very unique. They have a very unique style, more watercolor style, I'd say. And it's from, the owner is Zoe Pern. She designs everything herself. She's amazing. And so I love to create pages with them. I love Simple Stories too. I'm not on the design team, but you know, what I buy for myself, a lot of Simple Stories. I really love them. For the products, I love frames as embellishments. I love floral die cuts, alpha dies. I'm not complicated. I love almost everything.
I definitely notice a floral trend in the products that you like, though.
Oh, yes, you bet. Yes. You know what? That's why my Labrador, my dogs are females, because it helps with with the floral embellishments. Oh, it's terrible to say that, but I chose female dogs.
That's so interesting because I've always thought that I wanted a female too. And maybe it's just because I also have a daughter and so that I can use all the same favorite products.
Yeah. Yes.
That's so funny. So is there a technique that you tend to do on most of your pages? Or just something that's really unique to you?
Usually I have a white background. I admire, you know, designers that use a lot of pattern papers on their pages. Jenna Eubank is a master chef of that. And everything is so gorgeous, but it's just not for me. I always go to a white background. I usually use one big photo on my pages, often black and white as well, because I don't have to worry about the color matching. The photo is usually the very focal point of my pages. I use tissue paper behind each of my photos and foam dots as well. I'd say on most of my pages, you will find some stitching, either machine stitching or hand stitching. I love the texture that it adds. But I'd say that my signature, if I may, is probably my floral clusters. I love florals. I love layering them and putting them in huge, you know, clusters around my photos with leaves. That's really what I love to do. I always, most of the time also handwrite my journaling directly on my background. I find that handwriting something is more personal, maybe more touching for my kids if ever one day they read anything about it. So yes, I usually end my pages by a little handwritten journaling to document the story.
So two follow-up points. One is when we're done recording here, I will send you the sketches and templates that our designer made inspired by your layouts, and they definitely showcase your style and your love of floral clusters. So I can't wait for you to see those and for our members to grab onto those in March when they're released. It's always just like it's so wonderful to see the inspiration that you share translated to, you know, kind of a blank canvas starting point format. So it's really neat.
Yeah. Can't wait. Oh, that's awesome.
And then I'm also curious, you said tissue paper behind your photos. Can you talk more about what you mean there?
Tissue paper, that's, you know, the wrapping paper tissue, blank, white. Don't ask me why. That's what I do. It's just a way of, you know, adding texture without adding color, I guess. You know what? Missy Whedon, which is, you know, a star in scrapbooking, does that also. I probably, very honestly, started doing that when I saw her YouTube videos. And I never stopped. I think it adds just a little something, a little layer, not overpowering everything else. And yeah, that's my go-to. I do that on every pages.
Oh, I can't wait to look at your layouts again and like with an eye for that particular piece, because I don't think I noticed that before. That's really cool.
You'll see them.
So the flip side of this question is that are there things in scrapbooking that you've realized, like a supply, technique, a size, a format, that is just not for you at all?
I think planners are not for me. Although, you know, I really love what I see online with planners. I think they're amazing. You know what? I already have so much to do for work that incorporating any kind of planning for my scrapbooking is like too much for me. I want to go with the flow and not overthink things in my creative journey. So planners, not attracted to that. I'm not attracted to, you know, very vintage products or collections. That's not what I like. More the fresh, very white, very pastel style. So very, very vintage collections or shabby chic, or that's not really what I prefer. One thing that is not for me also is cards. Card makers are my heroes. They create, you know, amazing cards. There are so many products out there for that, but I don't know. I'm not a card maker. Probably because, in a very selfish way, I don't have a photo or a story to share or document with cards. So I feel like it's like if it's less fulfilling for me. My very first goal for scrapbooking is to cherish, honor the memories. So probably that's why I figured cards are not really my thing.
That makes sense for sure. I also think sometimes it feels so constrained. It's certainly creative, but the techniques that you need to use to get a good result require a lot of precision. Like messiness and imperfection is not as much part of that.
Absolutely. You're right. Absolutely. Yes.
I'm curious if you've ever tried Project Life.
Not really.
Okay.
That's the honest truth. I do a little bit for my December daily because I use Pockets.
Yep.
But I, no. Although I would have so many photos, that would be probably useful, but I never do insert Pockets in my albums. My albums are always, you know, a whole page, 12 by 12 page. And no, not there. Well, maybe one day.
Well, and I wasn't saying that you should have.
You're right, but maybe I should actually because I have so many photos.
Well, I want to highlight how much you seem to understand your time limitations and the ways you like to create and how you want to be inspired in a more organic way rather than, oh, I need to do this particular week. You want to find the photo that you love, tell the story that's bubbling up and mean something to you in the moment. And that's what keeps you going.
Absolutely. Yes.
So to me, you're on a beautiful track and I wouldn't want to see you change unless you were feeling excited about something else.
Yeah, you're right. We'll see.
So on that note, where would you like your scrapbooking to be in 10 years?
This is a terrible question. I mean, I never really thought about it. I know for sure that my first purpose or my first goal in scrapbooking will stay the same. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. I wish I will have more time in 10 years. I wish that I will continue to be on design teams because, you know, assignments allow me to make sure that I will take time to create. So I really love doing that. Maybe have a YouTube channel. That's just a big maybe. Because to be honest, I would like to have one, but the, you know, editing and voiceover thing, especially because English is not my first language and it's, you know, I have to work harder for sure to find the right description and meaning of everything. So, but I really love the community and I love to be able to share, you know, my work and have feedback and be inspired and inspire others as well. And I have that with Instagram, but it would be probably different and maybe a little bit deeper with YouTube, I guess. So that's a big maybe once I retire. Uh-huh. Yes. Hope. Yeah. You know what? The last 10 years, everything changed so much in the scrapbooking world that for the next 10 ones, I really am wondering and I'm excited to see what will be the changes. I hope that the industry will be still very, very active. But yeah, I'm looking forward to see. It's exciting to try to project what's going to happen in 10 years from now in scrapbooking.
Well, when you think about how long people have been doing this long before there was a scrapbooking industry, like this is a kind of a human compulsion to tell our stories and capture our lives. And so I think it will always be here in some form. What it looks like, you know, that will definitely be interesting.
I hope that there will be more in-person events.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm missing that from, you know, the pandemic because it's to see, you know, people that you don't know that are as crazy as you about this hobby and bring their whole stash. And oh my goodness, it's amazing. It really changed a lot of things for me to know that everybody is as passionate as I am and to see, you know, the different styles. And I really love that. Yeah. So hopefully more events and maybe on my side, organize many more scrapbooking weekends with my precious friends from Quebec City. Yeah, let's hope that.
I love that. I love that so much. You have shared so much in this episode about your heart and the meaning and the value of this hobby. If you had to wrap that up, what has being a scrapbooker taught you?
Oh my goodness. Scrapbooking has taught me that it's okay to take some time to be creative and, you know, not just perform 100% at work and be scientific and save every patient. You know, it's okay to have time for something else. And it has made me realize that, you know, for me, it's a necessity and it contributes to my balance and my sanity, as I told you earlier. So yes, it has taught me that. It has taught me that memories are precious and they deserve to be highlighted and cherished because what if? Maybe because I'm a doctor, I know that it's a possibility that everything can change in a second. Mm-hmm. And it's a way for me to appreciate what I have now and to just don't take anything for granted. In a more general way, aside of all that, it has shown me that there's a very great, very kind and passionate community that I discovered. And we are lucky to have that. We are lucky to have that hobby and to, you know, to share that with the community. And I would not change anything from it.
Oh, very well said. I totally agree on all of those points. And I've loved talking to you today.
Thank you.
Can you share where we can find you online and anything you might have new or coming up? Let's say mid-March or later in 2024.
Yes, sure. My Instagram account is soscrappy, so_scrappy. That's the only place where you can find all my work. I am on the Pinkfresh Studio design team, so I am in their Facebook group. Same thing for HipKid Club. I'm on the design team. I write blogs for them, and I'm on their Facebook group as well. I do write blogs and I am on the Facebook group of Cocoa Vanilla, and I'm also a designer for Fancy Paints Designs. In the coming year, I'll be instructor for the Pinkfresh Studio Create and Connect Scrapbook event by the end of March, as I told you earlier. Nerve-wracking. We'll see how it goes. I'm not really techno, so filming will be challenging, but probably very, very funny as well. And so I'm just looking forward to many new adventures in this scrapbooking world.
Well, we will include your links in the show notes as well as everything else that you mentioned. And I can't wait to see what you create and how things go for you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really a pleasure chatting with you today.
And to all of our listeners, please remember that you have permission to scrapbook your way.